Oracle has released the July 2021 critical patch update at a time when there is intense focus on the rising number of ransomware and supply chain attacks. Here to talk about the latest CPU and the trends in cybersecurity is the founder of Waratech, John Matthew Holt. When you look at the set of patches, JM, this time there's a high number of product suites with a high number of high severity scores. Now, what does that tell you when you look at that?
What we have here with Oracle's CPU is patches to a large range of software packages that are, up to 5 years or more older in some cases, and we're still finding critical vulnerabilities quarter after quarter without fail. When does this end? What comes to mind is the famous saying that when you're doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome, you have landed on the definition of madness. Well, looking at these numbers and the high numbers of high severity scores across the products, we have madness going on here. So the status quo has been an antiquated system where security researchers or attackers identify new security weaknesses in a vendor software product. Eventually, the vendor will learn about that. Eventually, the vendor will fix that. It'll often take a number of months for the vendor to work on the fix and push it out. They'll notify customers. Customers will receive that and then go through their own process of queuing that into production, and they'll have to go through a dev test to production lifecycle. And again, that all takes months. So the net of all this is that the time from 0 day to prod deployment is many months. And measured from 0 day to a typical deployment in most end users, you can even be talking up to a year before that happens. So I guess back to the question, what does this tell us? It tells us that we need, as a community and as users and as practitioners managing these applications in our estates, we need new products and solutions that bring proactive security to the supply chain, to the external third-party supply chain components that are central to some of our most important applications. Unfortunately, large bodies of application security tools static application security testing, dynamic security testing, DevSecOps, all of kind of the tool chains around those areas, they don't have any value on the supply chain problem, because the nature of supply chain is that we're bringing in code and running code that we usually don't write and we don't have control over. And so it tells me that we need new products, new solutions to start to tackle and address this problem. And fortunately, there are new products and solutions coming along.
I want to talk about that in just a second, but I want to also give you a chance to talk about the other thing that this particular CPU points out is a continuing issue with the ability to activate these vulnerabilities remotely and to exploit them remotely. Does that indicate anything any different than what you talked about? Or is that maybe make it even more important that we find these new and better ways of dealing with these problems once they already get into production?
Well, it makes it even more important, as you said. It really puts a focus on the need to improve the security posture of these third-party non-trusted components. And in the context of the Oracle CPU, that's exactly what all of these software packages and components are. Is they are either standalone application suites or core components of application suites that people are importing and running and relying on as the base for the business, ultimately the business logic that they are tailoring and creating for their own needs. The remotely exploitable vulnerabilities that are present in them and are recurringly present the reason that people stay up at night, and the reason that people worry about these, because ultimately they're the vulnerabilities that are most dangerous. There's no surprise then, of course, that remotely exploitable vulnerabilities correlate with, on the CVSS scoring system, correlate with critical vulnerabilities by and large. And taking this quarter's CPU from Oracle again, looking at that, kind of two things jump out about the exploitability of the vulnerabilities and the remotely exploitable components. I think here, looking at kind of the stats I've got in front of me, 81% of the Oracle products across their entire suite that are being patched because of and are patches for remotely exploited vulnerabilities. So we're not talking a few products here. We're not talking a few vulnerabilities here. We're talking lots and lots of vulnerabilities, and in some ways more significantly, vulnerabilities across so many products. And the second thing that I think is also important around any consideration of the significance of the remotely exploitable vulnerabilities in this quarter's CPU or any CPU is that when we look at this quarter's CPU, whilst the total number might be slightly less than the quarter before, I think there's 327 thereabouts in this quarter and 391 something like that in the previous quarter, the total CVEs per CPU measured over a 2-year period is bang on the average line. So again, I think this is another important point. We're not seeing a trend where vulnerabilities per application or vulnerabilities per suite of apps or vulnerability or the nature or severity of vulnerabilities or the types of vulnerabilities are trending down over time. As each quarter goes, we are seeing a continuity of the same, it's that definition of madness, doing the same thing, expecting a different outcome. Same type of vulnerabilities, lots of recurring remotely exploitable vulnerabilities, time and again in product after product, and that's not changing. I think that's really the important message to take away is in addition to the risk of the remotely exploitable vulnerabilities, the fact that we don't see any evidence, and indeed there is no evidence from the Oracle CPU or other large packages like it, that these remotely exploitable vulnerabilities are getting less over time.
I want to wrap up this session today with really kind of tying together what you said, that, you know, when you look at what we're seeing in the marketplace today and have seen this year with all of the major OEMs having some sort of zero-day issue at some point in the time with products that have been in production for years, and either they are finding it, a researcher is finding it, or unfortunately here lately it has been the threat actors who have been finding these zero days and exploiting them for months before anybody else catches on. So you've got that dynamic. You've got the fact that we're not seeing a reduction in flaws in software over time, which you would hope to see ultimately. And, against the other trends, yeah, there are things people can do that they haven't done historically. Mm-hmm. So what are those things they should be looking at deploying that are going to help them reduce that risk and that risk surface?
The best thing that end users and operators of these applications and application stacks that depend on these components and modules can do to protect those critical applications is to evaluate, pilot, test, and adopt the new generations of products and solutions that are and have been coming to market in the last couple of years, specifically designed to protect third-party components and software supply chain risk inside the application stacks that folks are running. So there are two important trends there that end users should be learning about. And those two kind of trends that have come about in the last couple of years and are kind of trending towards together are the following. Number one, runtime security agents for application stacks. And the second trend is container security agents for operating system images. Runtime security agents for application stacks are something that has started to gain traction and gain acceptance in the last several years, last 2 to 3 years, as a proactive security tool chain, as a proactive kind of security force. That you can apply on software, of course, that you write, but also kind of more importantly, in this case, in the context of talking about the Oracle CPU, the software that you don't write, the software and components and modules that you import from third-party supplier, Oracle in this case, and have to run it on inside your systems with your sensitive data. Most mid to large enterprises rely on these external third-party packages for critical business processes. So in the case of Oracle, these are going to be applications. If we make it more tangible for people listening, these are going to be applications like Oracle WebLogic, Oracle EBS, Oracle PeopleSoft, Hyperion, Agile. The list goes on. These are probably the most popular ones. The emergence of a class of product called runtime security agents that can attach to these application stacks at runtime on the production server and protect the application code, including the code from Oracle and the Oracle components, the third-party components, from the inside out. The if people are not familiar with these, listeners are not familiar with these are agents that on the surface appear nearly identical to many of the APM agents like AppDynamics and Dynatrace and New Relic that many customers or many end users may already be using. But instead of monitoring the performance of the application like the APM agents do, the runtime security agents are monitoring the executing code and the executing memory to identify vulnerabilities and exploits and attacks and block those from inside and within the application. The second trend, which is kind of goes hand in hand with that, starting from a slightly different focus area on a runtime server, but kind of trending towards the same goal of protecting the executing software stack that's containing these portions of third-party code, is the container security agents space. And there's, again, like in the runtime security agent area, there's a number of different container security agents out there from different vendors, and they all work on the same basis where they, instead of focusing like the runtime security agents on the application stack, the container security agents focus instead on the operating system images and providing monitoring and control of the operating system's behavior. So, you know, what particular file system operations are taking place, how the network is being used, what system calls are being done, and so on. And so they're different from the runtime security agents because they don't see inside the application stack. They don't know what's going on inside the application stack. Significantly, they can't evaluate or monitor the business logic of the application stack, but they can look at then how the application stack itself is sitting and running on the operating system. So, you know, coming back to the question, what can end users do and what can operators and administrators of applications do to protect their applications and their servers from attack? These are really the two most exciting product sets and solution sets that have started to emerge in the last 2 years, plus minus, for addressing precisely this problem, which is our third-party software components written by external vendors where the security of the software components is questionable or unknown, and indeed, you know, in the case of Oracle components, you know, proven to be consistently insecure and the need for patching. And so these two different agent types coming together and being co-deployed on the single application stack really becomes a compelling force and a compelling way of addressing the security vulnerabilities all the way from the operating system right up to the business logic that might be imported through the use of these third-party software components that come from an end user's software supply chain.
Thank you, John Matthew. Look out for future discussions with John Matthew Holt coming soon at waratech.com, where you can also read our full analysis of today's Oracle Critical Patch Update.